You guys gotta fire me up, man.
We're gonna go nuts in there.
Perfectly good mood. Then Jason told me about his dream last night.
Yeah.
Very angry.
I was in a good mood, and then you told me, hey, this is what it could be. Oh, wait, what?
You know, I didn't even...
This was my final show.
What I was telling you, I didn't even think. Jason was... You guys covered the dream in the...
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Chris, Jason was telling me about the dream. I was like, have you ever been checked for sleep apnea? And I was kind of explaining to him, because I haven't, you know, some of the things. And, yeah, I mean, worst case scenario, it's like minor. It's like...
Well, I don't know. It could be full on. I don't know. It could be, yeah.
It could be nothing. Sleep apnea is kind of fun, man. You get up in the middle of the night. It's awesome.
That's what the noise sounded like, yeah, in my mind.
Always feel like you're choking on a jawbreaker or something.
Now, I've never had that.
Jump. You scare your wife by leaping out of bed and no. Into... Like, hey, I don't know how good of an athlete I am today, but I got to imagine it's not as good as when I was, you know, younger. But if there was ever a camera on me when I wake up in the middle of the night and I somehow leap out of bed... And in two strides, I'm at the bathroom sink, leaning over it and breathing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and I don't even, it's not like, it's just like a reflex.
Oh, wow.
People be like, wow, Carl Lewis reincarnate.
Yes.
Although he's still alive, so I don't know how that works. But stay with me. What do you say? I got it now.
Yeah.
Well, heat culture.
Mm.
Whatever that is. Heat culture is going up. Where does Miami go? When the Heat lose, did they go to Cancun? You're in Miami.
They actually go to North Dakota.
They go to Norway.
Yeah.
They're all in Montana right
cool
now.
Cool off.
Boston just absolutely smoked them last night. Here's their new acquisition for the year on a 14-2 run.
Three-pointer falls for Drew Holiday on a 14-2 run. And this crowd says bravo.
Derek White has been a revelation this year for Boston. Really, really good story. It's hard not to root for that guy. He had, I think, 15 in the first and continued that in the first half.
Here's White. He drives it, and White lays it in off the glass. 17 for Derek White.
Yeah, 118-84. Is your final, a 34-point drubbing by Boston. At that first quarter, it was, I think Miami actually led like 9-6 or something, and then Boston just put the hammer down, outscored them 41-23 in the first and outscored them every quarter after, 118-84. They take out, to be fair, a banged-up Heat team, but Boston was also without Porzingis.
Yeah, first test without him.
And still managed, you know, they needed 16 points out of Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown with a team high tying 25. Derek White also matched that with 25. And a guy that really doesn't get enough love, Sam Hauser, off the bench for the Celtics with 17.
Doogie's brother.
It is, as a matter of fact, Doogie. And Dick Hauser, a former Royals manager.
Yes, good pull.
Yeah, thank you for that. So the Celtics are now chilling. They're going to have a few days off because it's the Magic and Cavs that will be up next for them. And it's just, dude, it's stranger things have happened. Styles make fights. If anyone knows, Kings fans know. You can't just say, well, this team beat that team, therefore they're going to beat that team.
Right.
That's the Pelicans with the Kings. So Styles do make fights. I just don't see. It just looks like such a clear path for Boston to the Eastern Conference Finals. And that's just a matter of who you're playing.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to put a scenario where if Cleveland got through, how would, you know, they've got a great score in a good backcourt in Garland and Mitchell and a big front court. So without Porzingis, maybe there's some trouble there. And then Orlando being young, and actually they've bothered Boston a little bit over the last year or two. But, you know, Boston's just so good. They're so complete, even without Porzingis.
I guess the question is, Who is their biggest threat in the East? A healthy Bucks team? The Knicks? Joel Embiid and the Sixers? Because I don't think it's the Magic or Cavs. I agree with your point. If Porzingis is out and in a perfect world, Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland get hot and Evan Mobley's doing his thing.
I think they get through unless there's a second injury. And I'm not rooting for that for them. I don't want any injuries.
I don't want to rule out the Bucks too early. A lot of that's, we're going to find out tonight who's back, who's not. And yes, I could see a situation where if all of a sudden they are healthy. But even here's the thing, though. Even if Dame and Giannis play tonight, you got to think they're not 100%.
Right.
They're playable,
yeah.
But they're not 100%.
Yeah, at least Dame's been playing. Giannis, it's been a while now.
Right. He's going to be, take a game or two to get the rust off. That's fine. They don't have a game or two, though. You know, yeah. they're down to the Pacers. I'm thinking, like, are the Pacers, if I remember correctly, didn't the Pacers beat the Bucks in the play-in or Celtics in the play-in? I want to say that was one of the teams they beat. I could be wrong.
Oh, in the tournament?
In the tournament. Yeah. Sorry, play-in. Not that that matters. Lakers won the in-season tournament. That didn't work out. It's the Bucks are banged up. The Sixers and Embiid are banged up. Maybe the Knicks, but the Knicks have their hands full with Philly. But that's also, the Knicks have their hands full with Philly, but I think it's also important to understand, too, you know, that's a 2-7, and we make the mistake of going, oh, they have their hands full with Philly. Oh, Philly's really a
Philly
top
was
force.
Closer to a 2 before the injury.
That's exactly right. This is more like a Eastern Conference semifinals matchup. This is not your typical first-round matchup because of what happened to Embiid.
Correct.
So I don't know what the answer is there.
Boston just seems they've been so complete. I loved what Spoelstra had said last night after the loss. He's like, look, I don't want to put the injuries on this because that's a disrespect to Boston. Boston's been the best team. They were the better team in this series. Yeah, we were injured, but
sure.
I mean, I think it would have been more competitive, certainly with Jimmy Butler, but it just that's not giving Boston enough credit for how good they were all season long.
I understand him saying that that is a disrespect. I really do. But it's also that doesn't mean the Heat would have won.
Right.
But when Jimmy Butler.
It's a big deal.
That is a really, really big deal. But good on him. I mean, that's why everybody loves Spo. Just kind of a off note here. You know, we're going to talk about coaches a little bit later in the program. But with Darvin Ham and Frank Vogel seemingly on the hot seat. I don't know if you saw Charles Barkley talk about this on Inside the NBA.
I didn't.
He, Charles will not hold back. Mm-hmm. And Charles decided to weigh in on the state of coaching. I thought it was worth playing for you guys.
Also, you said you wanted to say something about coaching.
Yeah, earlier. Part of our job, we watch all the games and we watch all the talk shows. You know, a lot of these people on television, they're cowards because they want the players to like them. They don't want to do their job, which is to tell the truth. And I just want to say it's about coaching. Anybody who thinks the reason the Lakers suck is because of Darvin Ham or the reason the Suns suck is because of Frank Vogel, you don't know what you're talking about. Frank Vogel is a hell of a coach. Darvin Ham is a hell of a coach trying to get his career started. But for all you punks, idiots, and jackasses on other networks who want to be media and who want all the players to like y'all, do your damn job. The Lakers suck, and the Suns suck because of the players. Has nothing to do with the coaches. I feel better now.
Feel better now.
I don't disagree with what he says. Not, of course, Vogel and I think that Vogel and him be the first to say they weren't perfect, but I'm a noted LeBron James fan. I'm a fan of him as an athlete, as a person for the most part, and oftentimes we'll stand up for him and defend him just as a sports fan. I have no problems admitting that LeBron James has hindered his career by trying to control too much, trying to build these teams, trying to, ring hunt, if you will, and having too much input on things. And you look at these slammed together veteran superstar teams. Look at who's winning championships. Look at the Nuggets and how they were built and put together. Look at the Celtics, who haven't won yet, but still who are being put. Even the Bucks, who are going out and grabbing, they've grabbed the Jrue Holidays of the world, but you're talking about a guy they drafted in Giannis Antetokounmpo, a guy they add a piece here, they add a piece there. But by the way, it's not working for them either. They have a title from a few years back, but They're in danger of getting bounced right now. But I think these superstars get a little impatient. They do. I think the legacy sneaks up on them. They start to hunt around. And if you really think about it, you know, I think a lot of us, Jason, maybe especially older people that also watch sports movies, you know, you have this thought that, like, the coach comes in and he's the big swing and you know what, and he's going to overturn the Gatorade bottle thing and table, and he's going to be yelling and screaming at players and you know, get it right. We every movie you ever see generally of a head coach, we have this fairy tale image of a guy who's kind of a father figure. He's tough, but he's soft, and you know, all that's
that. And then gives an amazing speech.
Amazing speech.
Dramatic music.
In reality, you have these guys that are worth 200 times what this dude is. They know that they have more power than he does. They know that he doesn't have really any recourse. And, you know, with a guy like LeBron, I can very much see a situation where he's like, look, I could coach this team. I'm right. One of the greatest basketball minds to ever play the game. Hey, Darvin, I used to drop, you know, 40 on you anytime you were near me in the game. You know, there's this lack of respect, and they may not outwardly say it, but you see LeBron, I've seen him a few times berating Ham on the court.
Right.
Freaking out because they didn't challenge.
Their last game.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, at some point, it's like, bro, you're the one on the court, and how's it working out for you?
Yeah, and I don't know if this is strictly to basketball. This could be a grander issue like society, but
yeah.
The day they're eliminated, the Suns, and Kevin Durant says, you know, I'll butcher the quote, but something along the lines, Dave, of, I don't feel like I ever was unlocked in this offense. I was left in the corner a lot. That's just killed the coach.
100% killed the coach.
Now, you got a Hall of Fame, once-in-a-lifetime type player that you've spent a lot of money and assets to bring in, and you really probably don't want to trade. And if he says that, you don't have to fire the coach, but you either better figure that part out,
yeah,
or fire the coach. And, I mean, I don't think Barkley's wrong in that, but I'll even – point this, we just spent this segment again talking about Miami and Boston.
Yeah.
Miami is not going to do anything with Spoelstra.
No.
They're fully comfortable, confident
right.
that they've got their guy.
That's right.
But if Boston were to lose in the next round to Orlando or Cleveland,
yeah.
I don't think Mazzulla makes
it. I agree with you.
And I don't think that's the right thing.
But I agree with you.
That's reality.
That's right. Easier to replace Joe Mazzulla than it is Jason Tatum.
Right.
Here's the thing, though. You want to talk about heat culture. Is Eric Spoelstra losing a power struggle with Jimmy Butler or Bam Adebayo? I don't think so.
No, and that also comes from Riley. Like, there's, but also, like, you know, Kerr doesn't lose a lot of those.
Pop ain't losing to, you know, well, I mean, I don't know if Wembanyama came out. And, but Pop, through the years, there's
a respect for, right. You know, I think, I don't know that Riley was bigger than the Showtime Lakers, but they might have been what and what.
Abso-freaking-lutely.
You know, it's like, that's Magic Johnson.
That's
right. That's Pat Riley.
That's right. That's right. And you could go across the board, too. He's not as celebrated as Riley, but same thing with Casey Jones,
yeah.
where you had Bird and Parrish and Ainge and all those guys, and McHale, and he never didn't have control of those guys. It's just, it's a different time.
It is.
You got these stars there complaining. It's like, bro, look in the mirror.
Right.
It's not your coach. Oh, fine, we'll switch the coach out again. Is that going to help?
Yeah.
It's going to take him 2 weeks to piss you off again, and then where we're at. Oh, you don't like the way the team's built? You built the team.
Right.
Anyways, we'll take a break. When we come back, 3 for Madness. Hey, what do you know? Another big mistake by the referees getting admitted publicly. Teammate of the Year has been announced in the NBA, but who would that be for the Sacramento Kings? We'll get to that and more next.
Three questions, three answers. It's 3 for Madness on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Here's question one.
Three for Madness time. We'll make a quick stop in the NFL coming up in the next segment. Some moves there. Sam Amick's going to join us at 8. And we're going to run by him.
I know I'm shamelessly pumping the poll here.
Let's make sure we lead the interview off with that. We're going to ask him about our... I have a feeling Sam's going to pop the bubble a little bit on our idea of... not our idea of Christmas Day, but just pushing the idea of Christmas Day. We got to ask
him. He's going to come up with like 10 separate points, like, it can't work because of this. And
yes.
We're going to just look like dummies.
Totally. I'm that. he nailed it. Yeah. I'm 1,000,000,000% prepared for that.
Say it was Dave's idea.
Well, yeah. Obviously you can't do it because of this.
Right. Ew. And it's going to be something super obvious. And we're like, oh, yeah, okay. Also in the next segment, not just NFL, but my favorite story of the day. My favorite story of the day is coming up next. And, guys, I think it might be yours, too.
Hmm.
Ah, there's a tease. In the meantime, it's Chris for Lott, 3 for Madness, question one.
I already hate it. The refs admit they missed the travel on Tyrese Maxey's 4-point play. Jason, aren't you a huge fan of the last 2-minute report?
Love it. Absolutely love it.
I do like transparency. I want the transparency. But there has to be a look.
I don't think this helps.
I don't think it helps because I think the circle is incomplete. Like, it would be like me trying to tell my kids, I'm going to start calling you out now for every single thing you do wrong, but I'm going to keep the consequences to myself. Like, there has, if mm-hmm. you're going to do the last 2-minute report and you're going to make it a public thing, then there has to be a rating system underneath. Now, I know what the pushback is. The pushback is if we can go to stats.org.gov or whatever and look at referee ratings and there's actual mathematics put to it, we go, oh, here we go. Scott Foster, he's dead last, or probably more than likely Scott Foster, he's first. I hate the guy, but look at it. Or, Tony Brothers, dead. We've got him tonight. I understand that the NBA does not want fans automatically thinking they're screwed because they have a bad referee by the numbers. But Guess what, Adam? Fans already think that. We're pretty savvy. We understand, A, who the rough guys are. But also, guess what? Work with them. Replay and let us know. If you don't want to name names, then make it very clear that there, which I know there is an internal referee rating system, and we dole out pay based on the rating system. Give them an incentive and let us know that that 2-minute report is being put to good use at least.
Yeah, and there's always arguments to say, hey, this play may not have cost them the game. There's all these other plays, but the specific one with Tyrese Maxey, it's 30 seconds left, 6-point lead. That was a 4-point play.
Yeah.
If the travel is called,
it's a ball game.
It's the series.
Yeah, you're right. It's the series. You're right. I apologize. That's an even bigger point. It is the series.
So, okay, now without the 2-minute report, what do we have left to go? That's a travel. No, it's not. Now it's the water cooler. The sports debate forever. Like, you and me differ on it. We go, that was true. No, it wasn't. They didn't call it. Well, it should have been. Okay, now it's just left open.
Right.
Now they've confirmed it was a travel with no consequences.
How do you think the last 2-minute, well?
They've confirmed it. They said, we missed it. It was a travel.
I'm trying to think how the last 2-minute report would have worked in 2002, game 6. Except the problem is that most of those fouls, if I remember right, were in the third quarter.
No, it was the four. It was the entirety, though. So there were so many. Like, I don't remember the final fourth, 2 minutes. I don't know. Maybe there's stuff there. But again, I'm with you in the general premise. I like the transparency. That's the one part of it.
Yeah.
But in the end result.
You got to do something.
Yeah.
Because right now, best case scenario, at least from the Knicks' point of view, is they win in Philly tonight and the series is over. But guess what? You had to travel to Philly.
Yeah.
You had to put 35, 40 more minutes on Joel Embiid and the rest of everybody. The best case scenario is that you are unnecessarily taking a lot more juice out of this roster than you need to. And there's no recourse.
And the fact that, again, we know it happened there. I'm going to go on the belief, and maybe this is too naive for me, I don't believe the refs are crooked, right? So if you have that as your premise, then I also believe, and I'm okay with it, they are going to make mistakes. Doesn't mean I won't, oh my gosh, what a terrible call. Sure.
Yeah.
But also, oh, how did he miss that free throw? What was with that turnover? The players make mistakes. The coaches, why'd they challenge that? That's dumb.
Sure.
Coaches screw up. The refs can. But now you're admitting it, and we know it, and I don't think it's – I think it does more harm than good.
Well, the one sport that really can clean this up is going to be baseball. I mean, I think we are going to have the – we're not going to have robot umps, but very soon we're going to have robot ump replay. Much like – and I'd like – you know, if any of you ever watch tennis, you know,
That's great.
I couldn't agree with you more. And it's so simple. If you ever see replay in tennis, it's like
it's quick.
A challenge. Okay. They show it on the screen for everybody to see. Oh, the ball's out or the ball's in. Okay. And then they move on. It takes 10 seconds.
Yeah.
Same thing in baseball is coming. Basketball is a different animal.
Right.
Number two, please.
Question two.
Mike Conley was named Teammate of the Year. Who is the Kings Teammate of the Year?
Well, your roommate was literally nominated in this group.
Yeah, I'm trying to find someone other than Harrison Barnes because it's Harrison Barnes. Again, that would probably be unanimous from the team.
I mean, Keegan was watching De'Aaron's kid.
That is true. And, you know, Domas is always, let's go.
Yeah, very supportive.
Hey, who's the kid that's always out there?
Oh, Mason Jones. Leaves?
Yeah. Mason Jones should get an opportunity.
I think Trey should get some.
Yeah. It's Harrison. Everyone loves him. Everyone loves Harrison. It's the new sitcom, 8:30 CBS. And why not? You know what? I mean, look, it's maybe he had some struggles on the floor, but you never hear anybody like, oh, Harrison really wasn't a great teammate the last 2 weeks. He's kind of in a slump. He was snapping at people. You don't hear that stuff.
Not at all.
Number three, please.
Question three.
How in the world is Michael Porter Jr. supposed to concentrate on a title run?
He's got fangs, family fangs.
Javon, now keep up here because you probably think you heard everything.
Yeah.
Javon Porter, who played at Pepperdine, who's the younger brother of Michael Porter Jr., was arrested this last Friday night in Missouri on suspicion of driving while under the influence. He was released and not booked into jail, but now here we go.
Right.
That's 2 weeks after Michael Porter Jr.'s older brother, Jonte, which you do know about, was banned from the NBA after an investigation showed he bet on games. Days later, another of his older brothers, Coban Porter, who is a former player at Denver, was sentenced to 6 years in prison for a drunk driving crash that killed a woman in Colorado last year. Now, I'm always very aware, and we always try to be very cognizant that we're talking about a game, and these are real life, actual things. I'm just simply, this isn't like a, are the Nuggets going to have, this isn't that. It's as a human being, God, the question is, how do you possibly concentrate on a playoff run when your family, your loved ones, they are collapsing around you,
right?
Ethically, morally, the whole thing is going to crap. And the only thing I can think of, Jason, honestly, is, and everyone's different, but I remember when I used to have Ron Artestin all the time, and we talked, obviously, quite at length about the malice in the palace and things that he's had to deal with off the court, his mental stability, everything about it. He was always incredibly open and transparent, and he would say all the time that the only time he ever felt at peace was on the court. That was his sanctuary. It's not that he didn't have trouble concentrating. In fact, it was almost in a weird way, his words, easier to concentrate and focus on basketball when everything was crashing around him. I just hope that that's the same for Michael Porter Jr.
Sure. Yeah, and you got every sibling basically with something while you're in defense of a title and playing well and an important piece and having fun. And it's like, man, life can get in the way.
And you have siblings. I have siblings. Mm-hmm. Imagine choice one. They're going through stuff like this. But here's the thing also that I think is important to remember. Also choice two. Social media is breaking them down.
Yeah.
You're seeing TV
it's
clips.
All public.
Your parents are being quiet. Well, what is going on in that family? And what's wrong with Michael Porter Jr.? Yes, I know about the podcast questions with Michael Porter Jr., but his issues aren't even the same. What is wrong? What is going on? Your family integrity is questioned. You want to get, if somebody publicly challenged the way my parents raised me and my sister, I'd want to wring their necks, and you can't do anything about it. You got to focus. So I feel for the guy, man.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you put that together with, remember how his career started, the back injury? Mm-hmm. He would have been a Sacramento King if it wasn't for the back injury. That's a fact. That's exactly who Vlade would have picked. And he had to go through that and didn't know if he's been through a lot.
He has.
But you know what? He's an NBA champion, too.
Yes, he is.
So we'll
back-to-back.
We'll see how that goes. We'll take a break when we come back. NFL notes, a question for the 49ers, and my favorite story of the day. We'll be right back after this.
Waking you up with the best in local sports.
They just make it interesting, you know?
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sactown Sports.
Just a couple of NFL notes real quick. Staying on top of things as the draft settles. Zeke Elliott back in Dallas. Whee! That was quick.
Is he recovered from that final play as a Cowboy?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Yeah, he said there's a quote. Well, this is what he said. It's just important to me to get back here and finish what I started. He signed a one-year deal after spending last year with the Patriots. I guess my question, I'm not trying to be a wise guy here, but what did he start?
His career.
I guess. He's an older player at this point. Dak Prescott's bestie. That probably had something to do with it. Dak was incredibly excited. But I'm bringing up the Cowboys because maybe many of you are like, why are you bringing the Cowboys in April? Like, what are you, a national ESPN show?
Right.
I thought this was also a little interesting. The Cowboys are going to decline Trey Lance's option. That's interesting. They're going to decline his 2025 option, which you would think in part, I mean, first off, they have Dak Prescott.
Right.
If they picked up the option, though, it would have cost them $22.4 million, would be fully guaranteed, and they'd be carrying about $50 million in quarterbacks. So it's no surprise, but then it's like, why did you trade for him?
Right.
He's making $5.3 million this season in base. He's got an option bonus as part of the deal he signed with the Niners. Now, what that means of the four quarterbacks selected in the first round that year in the 2021 draft, only Trevor Lawrence has had his option exercised.
Wow.
Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, and Mac Jones were traded to the Cowboys, Broncos, Steelers, and Jaguars, respectively, in the last year. Interesting. So, I mean, I get the only question I have is if the price is right, do you kick the tires, or do you just not even want to bring that back to the locker room?
Meaning San Francisco?
Yeah, the Niners.
Yeah, it's always a price point thing, right?
Well, let me ask you this way.
I don't believe he was a problem.
Let me take price out of the equation. Let's say he's willing to come back to the Niners on a one-year, $1 million. I don't know. Whatever the cheapest he could come back at. But if you do that now all of a sudden, is it like, John Lynch did pick him three. There's a little ego there. Are you bringing in a possible media issue that you just don't want in the locker room?
I would say no. Maybe there's always going to be something made of it.
Sure.
But at this point, I think we're now past the, hey, Brock Purdy opened the season throwing for 170 and three picks. Should they go to trade? Like, it's Brock Purdy's job.
Yes.
Like, remember last year, even, hey, Darnold, like, if Purdy struggles, right, like, there's a lot of people that, like, Darnold throws the best ball they've ever seen.
Sure.
I think it's Purdy's job. So I think that wouldn't even be a factor. It'd just be that initial return.
So that being said, I'm leading somewhere. I want to talk to, because I know there's still a lot in the area, I want to talk to Raider fan. Now, this isn't me being, friendly neighborhood, talk crap to the Raiders guy. I actually think the Raiders, look, I think Zamir White's going to be fine. I don't know if he's going to be Josh Jacobs or not, but he's fine. He averaged, I think, 4.5 yards a carry last year. Looked good, had like 500 yards or something. It's fine. You got arguably the best receiver in the game in Devontae Adams. Now you go Jacoby Myers. I thought Michael Gallup was a great pickup. That's Michael Gallup's a great three receiver. If he stays healthy, he is. And now you're going with Mayer and Brock Bowers as your tight ends. Many say Brock Bowers was the best player in the draft, regardless of position. Now, again, who knows? But you're fine at the tight end position. They added a little bit to their offensive line, including Jackson Powers Johnson, there's something there on paper. You really want to go into the season with, and no disrespect, Aiden O'Connell and Gardner Minshew? I don't know what the answer is, but why aren't you kicking the tires on a Trey Lance? Why weren't you? I understand the Justin Fields thing. I don't understand. They didn't look at Justin Fields in part, I'm sure, because they signed his Bears offensive coordinator, and that didn't work out. I would actually question more, why are you bringing in the Bears offensive coordinator? But whatever. You know, Pittsburgh's got Russell Wilson,
Zach Wilson and Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Oh, and Fields.
And Fields. Thank you. Zach Wilson just got traded.
Yeah, he went to Denver. Yeah.
He goes to Denver. But all these, like, I'm not saying Trey Lance is the answer or Zach Wilson's the answer or Russ Wilson but what you have, like, you kind of know what you have in AOC, and you kind of know what you have. You really know what you have in Gardner Minshew. I love Gardner Minshew.
Can he have a Baker Mayfield year?
That's the question. And I think Baker Mayfield, you bring up the absolutely perfect name. Baker Mayfield is what everyone's going to point to now. And Baker Mayfield, you could argue, I mean, it's not an exact science, but we can go back to Jeff Hostetler, who came over from the Giants, was buried behind Phil Simms. And all of a sudden, you know, Rich Gannon actually was tremendous with Minnesota, but even better, an MVP with the Raiders. So I think there's a blueprint there. I love Gardner Minshew. I love Gardner Minshew in college. I feel like Gardner Minshew is kind of like a, even though he's not that old, but like a modern day Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's a guy that's going to come in, and he's very likely to start off the season. Let's say he was the starter, gangbusters. Ryan Fitzpatrick did that like five times. Where remember Ryan with the Conor McGregor look and the chest hair and doing the pressers and all that? He was the toast of the town. Got figured out really, really quickly. Why not look at a Lance or a Fields or a Zach Wilson? Again, I'm talking about the type, not the specific. That is tons of alleged potential. And you might be listening right now, but Dave, look, people have seen Trey Lance or people have seen Zach. Like, they're never – I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm certainly not trying to prop these guys up as all pros. I'm talking ceiling-wise. There's got to be somebody out there better. AOC and Gardner Minshew, in my opinion, are 6-7 8-win quarterbacks. This offense, and then the defense isn't a ton to write home about, but it's a decent defense. Max Crosby is one of the best defensive players in the game. You have some pieces there. I just feel like they're it's almost, no pun intended, but they're punting on the season, and anything can happen in the NFL based on quarterback, the most important position in the NFL.
Yeah, and here's an answer I don't know. I mean, I understand where you're asking about kick the tie. Like, do you think in your heart of hearts is Trey Lance better than Gardner Minshew? I don't think we know that.
I will say this. Right now, probably not. But I don't know how much... The thing about Trey Lance, I can only speak on him as a Niner. Like, I didn't hate what I saw out of him as a Niner. I saw a very raw prospect who didn't get a ton of playing time in college that showed some, you know, let's go back to Trey Lance's first start and the whole Trey area call by Greg Papa and that great bomb he threw. Like, then he gets hurt. Purdy comes in. Purdy takes over. Like, he's the man. I think there's something there that's worth exploring with a Trey Lance. If his option's not getting picked up, the Cowboys aren't going to use him. You can give him an 18th round pick for him, and they'd probably take it at this point. Why not? If I'm the Raiders and the price is right, go get a Zach Wilson. Go get a Trey Lance. Go get a bunch of these guys that nobody cares about right now. Put all the potential in the quarterback room and open it up and see.
Worst case scenario,
yeah, you're cutting them again. I just don't think going into the season with these guys, I think there's a ceiling with these guys they have right now that is very possibly lower than a few guys out there. Hell, give Ryan Tannehill a call. Mm-hmm. Jesus, do something. Don't go into the season like this. We'll take a break when we come back. My favorite story of the year. And I'm going to ask you a question based on this. We'll do that next.
to get your sports fix.
Live and local.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Welcome back. Welcome back. I love this story. We talked yesterday about the belay that happened in the Diamondbacks game and how they had to call the nearest beekeeper to come save the day, get the bees, clear the field. I would call him, you know, we throw this term around a little loosely. I'd call him a baseball hero. Mm. And now he is immortal because Topps is making a beekeeper card. They have signed a deal with Matt Hilton. 101. The bee specialist from the game. And they are going to make a one-of-one Matt Hilton signed baseball card from his, quote, all-time great performance. It shows the guy with his hands raised. Caption has his name, the date. Be afraid, be very afraid. Bees swarm in Arizona. B-E-E. I say well-deserved.
Hey, it's one-of-one, so it's rare.
It's going to be worth something.
Yeah. I don't know what, but.
But it made me think.
Okay.
What other non-players in our sports deserve a card? Let me give you an example. And I'm sorry that this is the first one that popped to mind. But if you want a card that means something, that memorializes somebody that gave it all to the game of baseball, literally, I would like a seagull trading card from the Randy Johnson game, memorialized. Now, I'm not suggesting that the card have the seagull when it exploded, but maybe the seagull pre, or maybe a stand-in seagull looking...
Stand-in? You can't have a stand-in.
Yeah, so you got to have the real one?
Yeah, like some cards have the part of the uniform. Like, do you have a feather in the card? Too much?
I didn't think about that.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's a game-worn feather.
Yes. Are we sticking with baseball?
No. No. I got to be honest. I feel like this exists. And by the way, this doesn't all have to be bad things. There's got to be a Malice in the Palace card, doesn't it? Something that, like, memorial, like, like crazy thing, you know, whatever. I feel like there has to be. If not, there should be.
What was the guy, Dan the Fan Man, that flew into, like, the fight?
Oh, the parachuter that flew into the Riddick Bowe fight and got the crap beat out of him. Yes!
I mean, I think there's a pretty famous one that we could have in Sacramento.
The tarp?
No.
Okay, because I think the tarp that was leaking.
That would be good.
All right, hold on.
A person.
This happened in Sacramento?
Mm-hmm.
Was it a Kings-related thing?
Yes. We've talked about this person a bunch. Jason knows.
Now I got it. Was it recently?
Past few years.
Yep. And is the nickname based off of a coach?
Yes.
Okay, got it. Now I'm going to see if Dave gets there.
I'm so lost, dude. I'm so.
This might be the, besides the hints Chris has already said or that we've gone through, our guy Murph tweets about him a lot.
Oh, God. You're so right. Oh, the puke guy.
Yes.
Absolutely should have a card. Yes. The puke Walton game.
What would be great to see the stats in the back, like what he drank, what he ate?
It's a scratch and sniff. It smells.
Wait, you're the one talking about game worn stuff.
Mm-hmm. What? A little chunk of nuggets.
Just a little piece of carrot in there. Oh, no, you're 100% right. Because not only was it a guy in the front row puked all over himself and all over the floor and everything that happened with it, that would be incident enough. The coach got fired the next game. You can't, that's never going to get duplicated. Oh, and the coach's first name rhymes with puke, sort of. The puke Walton game. You're never going to top that.
Yeah.
We're thinking all bad stuff. Maybe, but here we go with all the bad stuff. The ear, the Tyson Holyfield ear.
Yes.
Big Dom from the Eagles. Definitely should have a one-of-one card. Billy Crystal. Oh, just because he's like front row.
Yeah, okay. Big Dom is a good call.
John says mascots deserve cards. I think they do get some somewhere. I've seen a mascot card before, but the second part of John's text is great. Mascots deserve cards. Samson deserves a card. Noted Kings mascot Samson.
Yes.
Unless there's another mascot somewhere else called Samson.
Right.
Yeah, I like Parachute Guy. Morgana.
Yeah.
Let's go old school, like classics.
Would you want a card of Baby Rain? And remember when Fox was holding it and had that facial expression?
Just like, looking right there. The only problem is, would Baby Rain have to sign like an NIL deal?
Right.
You know.
That autograph, one of one.
My wife on the private text line weighs in. I don't know the picture
Set
you would
the screen.
Use. I don't know the picture you would use, but speaking of Pute Guy, it's a little newer, but what about the chicken wing? With an actual game-used chicken wing.
Yes.
Just a piece. You get just the breading. That probably wouldn't last well. That probably wouldn't smell great. Schilling's bloody sock. I mean, you could do my point is this. You could release an entire, you know, we memorialize these players, and we should, but the problem is that, like, 70-60% of the players that get cards, nobody cares about. You know, no offense to them. They're just run-of-the-mill, I'm having my career, I'm not that great. But we don't memorialize the things that really need memorializing.
Like, do you want them in their bad moments? Like, I know there are coaching cards, so do you have, like, Chris Finch down, like, holding his knee?
100%.
Like, the moment he shreds his knee.
Yes, a picture of Finch. Yes, just the picture where he's like, like, when he's going down, he's got that look on his face. Worst moment.
Thanks for that card,
but there you go.
Yeah.
This is so my wheelhouse as a collector, because if there was a signed Chris Finch card of, I'm a big believer, you know this, of manufacturing memorabilia that didn't exist.
Right.
I've told you before, one of the coolest things I own is an unused game ticket from Roy Halladay's Perfect Game, and it's underneath a signed Roy Halladay 8x10 that I bought off of eBay. I mean, God rest his soul, he was obviously still around when I did this, but it means even more now. This means a lot to me.
Right.
If I've got a Chris Finch signed card, I'm if the price is right, I'm grabbing it.
Right. I mean, if there was we've seen the video, it's very grainy.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, Draymond swinging on Jordan Poole.
Oh, absolutely. But you got to clean it up a little bit. The Danny Ainge bite.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm seeing this a lot, so I will just address it. As long as he gave permission, which I think he 100% would, because it's incredibly scary, but we've laughed about it now a lot. I'm seeing a lot of requests for Jerry Reynolds' card. Back in the day. I don't feel comfortable with that, because that was so scary.
I'll
bet you anything. Jerry'd be like, yeah, why not?
I'd sign it.
Signed it off. Yeah. Let's go to Ashley. Good morning, Ashley.
Good morning. I just kind of wanted to add in on a piece of memorabilia I'd like to come out. And I want a card of Doug Christie uppercutting Rick Fox.
My God. That's
winner, winner.
How do we miss that one?
Yeah.
Also, I feel like
signed by both would be great.
Oh my God, that would be an amazing piece. The question is, does Rick Fox do it? Would Rick Fox sign it?
I think he would.
You think so?
I think you have to get Doug's signature first.
Really? I thought it would be the other way around. No, I feel like Doug
because then all of a sudden, look, come on, Rick, I'm trying to complete the.
Well, that's two pieces of memorabilia. You'd actually do that if you could access them. An 8x10, you can get an 8x10 of that picture anywhere.
Right, but make it as a card.
Have them both sign it and frame it.
Yeah.
And then right next to the signed and framed Sports Illustrated Greatest Show on Court, that's amazing memorabilia.
Because isn't that the story? Like, Jay Will doesn't sign much, but he'll sign it if he's the last one on that?
Yeah, I think so. Exactly. Jay Will owes me one, so I will get him. He does owe me one. Remember that time he texted me for tickets?
That's right.
Yeah,
randomly.
Last year.
Yeah,
randomly out of nowhere.
Yeah.
He texts me and says, hey, man, can I get Gotta get some tickets. And I'm like, what?
What am I, Ticketmaster?
Right, but hey.
You're Jason Williams.
You're Jason Williams. What are you, what? Yeah. I haven't heard from you in months. Got happy to do it, but why are you, you know 100 million people better than me. Yeah. Why are you texting? Well, he got the tickets, though.
How many people did he try before?
That's exactly right. Like he probably is like that guy on our text line that sent a blast to all his contacts. No, you know what? Honestly, I would sign. Fine, everyone's on here. Yes, I would sign a Dave eating popcorn, dislodging his jaw card. That's fine.
Would you want a Pedro Martinez pushing Don Zimmer?
Oh, that's so terrible. But
with both signing it.
Yes. Yeah. Well,
I think you can only get one sign.
Well, now, but you know what I mean.
Yes. Yes, I would. What'd you say, Chris? Was that just in my ear?
That last one?
Yeah. No, the one you
the no,
one
that was prior. Just in your ear.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Yes. All right. We'll take a break. Shep, we already talked about Big Shep.
Yeah.
True Sports Card says a piece everybody wants signed is Randy Johnson hitting that bird with a baseball, but unfortunately he will not sign the I get it. He will not sign the photo. I get it. What about a Frederick Weiss signed Vince Carter dunking with the okay, you can't say that word on there, can you?
I don't think so.
That starts with T. All right, we got a break. Yeah, I avoided this. Yes, you're right. By the way, are they still around? Everybody wants the Menendez brothers signed card where they're courtside at the Knicks game. Mm-hmm. Are they? They're still with us.
Yeah. Oh, Jackson, right?
Well, I didn't know if you know. So
that's on a Mark Jackson card.
Yes, that was a Mark Jackson card, the Menendez brothers, which actually came up in the court, it turns out, or something. Oh. They used it for something. We'll take a break. When we come back, Sam Amick of The Athletic.
Sammy.
Sammy joins us next.